My name is Drew. I'm an alcoholic. And I'm grateful to be here. And I'm grateful to be sober. And I have a sobriety date. It's February 21st, 2009. I've got a sponsor who's got a sponsor. I've got a home group, right? I'm an active member of that home group. Currently have a couple service commitments and very fortunate enough to be sponsoring a couple guys right now, and I'm in the middle of the triangle, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It's very important for me. If you're an alcoholic of my variety, you know, it's important that you stay in the middle of this thing, right? I was taught that, you know, if I wasn't in all three sides, that I would at the very least end up drunk and more than likely dead. So, you know, through a power greater than myself and, you know, a real active line of sponsorship, I've stayed in the middle of you, you know. And that's important for you to understand that, and I need to be in the middle of you. And I hope if there's, you know, so if I have one wish, if you're new and you're in this room, I hope you get in the middle of us, man. Get in the middle of us and come with us and do what we do, right? Simple but not easy, right? Simple but not easy, man. A price is paid here, man. I understand what you had to do to earn those seats. And there's a price paid here. So last week we talked about trying to introduce my story to you, right? So that I could identify. We call it qualify, identify. You hear all these terms, right? It's important for you to understand that I'm one of you, right? And something clearly happens to me whenever I'm with you. And that's how I opened up last week. Like, I don't know how to describe that. But whenever this book is in between us, there's something happening, man. There's something present here. I'm convinced of that, right? And that's been my experience, really. Since my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, that, you know, something is like, you know, we keep harping on this football thing, right? But, you know, again, where are you going? Like, are you guys out of your mind? You're doing what? Like, Sunday night, get out of here. You know, we're getting in the car and we're going to go carry this message because that's what we've been trained to do, man. Train our feet, if anything, right? So, you know, when I was telling you my story, right, I was hoping you guys were identifying, right? There's this identification, right? And, you know, if anything, I think the first step is the description of our problem, right? And maybe the simple answer to the second step is the description of our solution, right? And then the third step is, like, this program of action, right? And, like, you know, what's going to happen here? You know, what's my choice to be? You know, I opened up my talk, like, my theme is this. And I've been working on this with some of the guys I sponsor, man. Like, what's your position here, man? Have you sincerely took a position here, right? Because if you sincerely took a position here, some things have started to happen for you, man, right? If you've admitted you were alcoholic and could not manage your own life, right? And that B, probably no, you know, God could, but no human power could, right? And C, that God could and would if he were sought, right? I'm hoping that's the position you've arrived at, right? And now the next question is how do I seek this God, right? Right? If the problem is me and the answer is him, how do I get to him? Right? And the great thing, you know, a kid I sponsor talks about this all the time, like, the great thing is we don't really have to know much. It's written down for us, right? Promises, prayers, and warnings. Clear-cut directions, man. Get a guy or a lady that's had an experience with this, right? It might not be the treasure, but it damn sure is the treasure map, right? It'll get you to where you got to go. But we got to do what it says when it says to do it, right? And, you know, that's... I wanted to do some reading tonight. I know we're in a big book study kind of format, so I wanted to open up on page 62. And let's just spend a little time before we're going to take this position, understanding what's going on here. I'd like to start on the second full paragraph on 62 with, so our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making, right? They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, although he usually doesn't think so. Above everything else, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And there often seems to be no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own willpower. We had to have God's help. This is the how and the why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter, in the drama of this life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal, we are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom, right? And I'll tell you, I talked a lot last week about this, my sponsor talking to me about the requirements of the third step, right? That there were those two requirements, right? And, he would point out that, so many examples of this selfishness and this self-centeredness that would kill me, right? Like, because untrained eyes will tell you, just stop drinking, man, right? Just put it down, man. You're going to be fine, right? People were telling me that at 12, 13, 14 years old. Just stop drinking. You were going to be fine, man, right? And me and you know that nothing could be further from the truth, man. Sometimes I stop drinking and I go out of my mind, right? Right? You got to give me something. There's got to be an answer somewhere, man. And, our literature's clear about that, man. And I love some of that, I had to quit playing God, right? Because I'm constantly trying to arrange the outcome, man. And that's, my sponsor would point this stuff out to me, right? This whole part about moral and philosophical convictions galore. I mean, I told you guys, I joined the Marine Corps, right? I could vividly remember, right? I remember, I got this thing. I'm not going to end up like my brother. I'm not going to end up like them, man. I got this. I'm going to join this, there's all these things, right? God, core, and country, man, right? It's really the first time in my life I was introduced to a power greater than myself, right? It was like, man, there's something to believe in here, man. Right? There's something that'll keep you, and man, wouldn't it be great if that was an answer, right? It was just like, there was so many things. And then, on 63, our book starts to get into this, like, right? So if self is my problem, right? I'm hoping that's where you're at now. You're coming along with me now, right? So we've kind of concluded some things here, right? That these bottles were really just a symbol. Some things happened, Definitely the primary symptom of alcoholism is drinking, right? You look around, hey, straight ahead. Well, he said he was an alcoholic for 10 years and he went out and had a drink, right? I mean, I don't want to poo-poo the drinking part because it is an important part of our story. It definitely is the primary symptom. But if this idea, this self, this bondage of self that's been kicking my butt time and time again, and I can't get out of self with self, right? How do I get to where I gotta go, right? How do I get to this power? Because I keep getting blocked time and time again. I do something and you did this again. Like, part of my story is just so many people in my life begging and pleading, you did this again. not again. I can still hear him. It's 14 years later, and it's like, I can't believe you did this again. How did you end up there? There's all these people just, you know. And then our literature says, look, man, here it is, right here, right? Like, you know, let's be clear about this, right? God was going to be our director. He's the principal. We are his agents. He's the father. We are his children. Most good ideas are simple. And there's this powerful new concept, man, right? When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. We had a new employer. Being all-powerful, he provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered we could face life successfully, we became conscious of his presence. We began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn, right? Third step promises, man. Like, what an unbelievable, you know, what an unbelievable promise, right? Like, this idea of like, you know, hey, just let's, you know, got no power, choice, or control over drinking, man. I just giving that up. I can't do it anymore. And, you know, man, what a, whew. We began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or the hereafter. We were reborn. I mean, what a promise, right? Man, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I, you know, I needed to be reborn. Like, when I came walking down here, my life was, I, you know, this idea of the, you know, that there's a second surrender here, right? That's what's going on. It's like, okay, like, you, the booze has beat you up enough. If you're anything like me, and you end up projectile vomiting blood, and you know your daughter is standing on top of you, and your parents are done with you, and nobody wants you around anymore, and you know the booze will beat you up. It'll do a job on you, right? If you drink like I drink, you're probably going to surrender. Now, are you going to have this second surrender that this literature talks about, right? Are you going to take our answers clear, man, right? You're going to come with us on 4 through 9, right? I was taught, you know, that the first evidence of somebody taking their third step is them writing in the fourth, right? And we're going to, like, come on. You want to come with us? You want our way of life? We've got an answer. Make no mistake about it. There's a solution here. Do you want to be, do you want what we want? Do you want what we have? Are you willing to do what we do? Right? We were now at step 3. Many of us said to our Maker, as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. We thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him, right? You know, my sponsor talks a lot about what abandoning yourself to him utterly means, right? No, sponsor, I don't want to go up there and do that commitment. You know, no, I don't want to drive down there and do that. Like, Drew, are you abandoning yourself utterly to him? We found it very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person, such as our wife, best friend, or spiritual advisor. But it is better to meet God alone than with one who might have misunderstood. The wording was, of course, quite optional, so long as we expressed the idea, voicing it without reservation. This was only a beginning. though if honestly and humbly made, and in effect, sometimes a very great one was felt at once. Problem, right? Solution. What's your decision? Right? Because I've been around long enough to know now that some people will come in here and they'll sit down in those chairs and they'll say, yeah, you're right, it did beat me up. You know what? It did. Really did. I can see that not using that stuff, my life gets a little bit better, right? But man, this God stuff you guys are talking about, I don't want any part of that. Like, forget that. Like, I'm just going to sit in this chair and I'm just not going to use. And then, unfortunately, my eyes have become trained and I just sit here and I go, well, let's see how long this is going to last. Right? And man, I keep wishing for one of them guys to just make it. I really do. Like, come on, man. They're going to show us something different here. But typically what happens is somebody will, you know, whether it's 90 days or 6 years or whatever it is, man, at some point, right, self-will takes over and grabbing the chair no longer becomes a solution, right? And, if you haven't had that experience, you know, I beg of you to be fearless and thorough, man, and come with us, man. Come with us on this ride, right? And our book now gets into what we, everybody likes to term the action steps, you know, like next we launched onto a course of vigorous action, right? Because certainly if there's a problem and there's a solution and you've decided to come with us, right? We got to give you something. There's got it. Self. How do I get rid of self? Let's get into that. Let's examine self. The first step, which is a personal house cleaning, which many of us had never attempted. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom. So we had to get down to causes and conditions, right? What a powerful little paragraph right there, right? My goodness, man, we could spend a night on that. Right? I could talk, man. I'm a coach, right? You know, I like to coach athletics. We were talking on the way up here about like the margin between winning and losing. Right? Sometimes it's like, did you pay attention? Like, wait, how'd you miss that call? You're up in the booth. You got TVs. You got video cam. You missed the call. Like, how'd you miss that? Like, when they come, sometimes when I'm in my home group and I see a couple new guys come in, and though our decision was a vital and crucial step, now if somebody said to me, like, it's a vital... What's happening right here, your life depends on this paragraph right here, right now. It's a vital and crucial step. Nah, man, I'm good. I'm just going to go home after the meeting. I'm good, man. I appreciate it. I can see I can't jam that stuff up my nose no more. I can't stick that stuff in my veins. I get that. But you guys are a little too radical down here. You got just a little too much for me, man. I don't know about it. You know, it's like, okay. Our liquor was but a symptom, right? So we had to get down to causes and conditions, man. Why? Why? The story of my drinking career is like, why do I keep going back? Time and time again, right? No power, choice, or control over the first drink. Why does it keep... I shared this last week, right? And I think some people think I'm lying about this because I share it quite a bit. Like, I've had one thought my whole life. there's really been one constant thought in the back of my head. The idea that somehow, someday, I'm going to control and enjoy my drink. If I'm being 100% honest with you, there's always a moment in every day where I'm like, God damn, they make Honey Jack Daniels now. God damn, they got cinnamon whiskey. Holy shit. They didn't even have craft beers when I stopped drinking. And a lot of, there's people in my wife will say to me sometimes, like, just, blah, 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 Johnny's got to, Johnny, what'll make it a better? Couple drinks. Drinking's always been my solution. It's the only thing that's ever made me one with man and God. It's settled me down immediately. This guy in California talks about, like, it works every time, man. Every time. So I need, like, if I'm not fearless and thorough, I'm at the very least drunk, right? Therefore, we started upon a personal inventory. This was step four. A business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade. One object is to disclose damage or unsaleable goods, to get rid of them promptly and without regret. If the owner of the business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. We did the exact same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways was what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. So my sponsor stopped right there, Are you convinced that you are your problem? Right? I need to look at me, like, what's going on? And it helped me tremendously when it was pointed out in black and white, like, oh no, this is why you went back time and time again, right? There were flaws in your makeup that caused your failure. Let's look at them, man. It's not, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I told you guys last week, I've got a little plumbing and heating business, man. And it just, I need, structure. I need discipline. I need simplicity. Hey, let's look at this thing, man. You're carrying around this 90 in your truck for the last 6 years. You haven't sold it to anybody. But you know what? It's taking up space in your truck and it's keeping you from putting something in there, which allows you to sell something, right? That works for me. I get that now. You start telling me I'm losing money, I get it, right? You start pointing out to me that, hey, perhaps your pride, perhaps your ego, perhaps these things are keeping you blocked from the sunlight of the spirit, and I start to understand that, right? I needed to see it. I had to see it in black and white, right? Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. For we have not only been mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Our program is pretty unique, right? You can go to your doctor and talk a lot about your physical allergy to alcohol, right? probably have some really great in-depth conversations about that, right? You can even talk about your mental obsession a little bit, right? You'll probably, point out that, yeah, something's going on up there, blah, 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 you know, all these scientific terms that I can't really regurgitate to you, but, the spiritual malady, the book introduces this idea that something's wrong in your heart, right? Your spirit inside you, something's going wrong here, man. Right? And I think our Alcoholics Anonymous, brings up the third side of the disease here, right? And here, and you really want to blow your doctor's mind, talk to him about straightening out spiritually first, right? Let's get your heart right, man. Let's get your heart right. And then we straighten out physically and mentally, right? And I can't straighten out spiritually if I'm so consumed with self or refeeling something that I've done to you or an institution, right? Impossible to do, man. I can't be right with God and wrong with man. I've got to be able to look God and man in the eye. It's got to happen. I can't be living in the past or tomorrow. I've got to find a way to straighten this out, man. This idea of refeeling, my sister, I told you guys last week, my sister took 70 Tylenol, drank 2 bottles of wine after her wedding and killed herself, man. And I could never let that go. Didn't matter how old I was. It didn't matter if I was 15 or 25. Didn't matter where I was. Didn't matter if I was at war or in a wedding. That event with my sister was with me everywhere. I could feel it. My hair would stand up on my arms. There's times today it still does. I was constantly re-feeling that event. I wasn't able to get to the sunlight of the Spirit. Right? It wasn't until I got to you that a sponsor said to me, let's put this thing in its proper place, man. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institution, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships were hurt or threatened. So we were sore. We were burned up. My experience, my sponsor would say to me, hey, my mom's number one on my resentment list, right? My mother, the lady that gave me birth, who was my biggest cheerleader, who would, all the cliches, man, jump in front of a train for me, work an extra hour for me, make sure who would give me her life itself. No doubt, she's number one on my resentment list. I'm ashamed of my mother, man, because she's drinking herself to sleep at night and she's crying and, she's up for 2 and 3 days at a time and she's drinking this 5-gallon jug of wine and she's drinking and she's crying and she's drinking and she's crying. And I'm 13, 14, and 15 years old, and I'm ashamed of her. And I can't have, and it comes down to my selfishness and my self-centeredness and a little bit of my ego, right? And it's a sponsor, an Alcoholics Anonymous, that, has to point out to me that, your mother had just lost her daughter. Perhaps she was spiritually sick, right? And it's like, whoa, wait a minute. He's able to point out to me, I don't remember you having any compassion for your mother. Right? All I could hear is you talking about you and you and you and you. And you can't do this and you can't do that. It's, there's something that happens here when we write this stuff down. And we'll get into it. I don't want to skip ahead here, but simple but not easy, right? Like, we got to get this stuff down. We got to look at it. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with us? Third column, right? We were usually as definite as this example, right? And I'll read you one. I'm resentful at Mr. Brown because his attention to my wife affects my self-relations, self-esteem, and fear, right? We went back through our lives, nothing but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was that the world and its people were often quite wrong. To conclude others were wrong was as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued to wrong us and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse. Then we were sore ourselves. But the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. And you know, sometimes we make a big deal of this, but the guys I'm running around with, you know, the way sometimes we're talking, it's like we're basically doing a four-step every day almost. You know, as you can usually hear some kind of gossip going on and somebody's talking about something and it's like, yeah, he was wrong. You know, like, Johnny didn't show up for work late, blah, 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 you know. And I always say, guys, like, you're doing a four-step, man. Like, you know, you're not supervised right now, and let's get back to what the book says. And you know, if you're dying from this thing, right? Like I'm dying from this thing. You better get this done with, man. Like it sometimes seems like the elephant in the room. Right now, I've done this now numerous times, so it's sort of lost that for me. It's become a tool, but until you've done it your first time, it can be an elephant in the room. Like, what's this guy talking about? It is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads to only futility and unhappiness, right? To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? Man, I gotta stop right there because that one gets me every time. One of the sexiest lines in the book, right, man? To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? And it just works for me, man. I told you guys I had this middle brother, man, that was just like, he was like one of my heroes, man. He's number two on my resentment list, I think, you know. And I squandered so many hours with that guy because I was too ashamed to tell him that I knew some things. And his life ended way too soon, man. And I didn't get to you yet. I didn't have these tools, man. And man, did I squander some hours there. And that one just always gets me. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, the business of resentment is infinitely grave, right? We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. The insanity of alcohol returns and we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. And that's, you know, don't, you know, I beg of you, like, to lay aside prejudice. Like, if, you know, some things happen in here, man, and you're going to see some things you might not like, and there's going to be some people in here you don't, just doesn't click with. But my goodness, man, if you let some of this stuff turn into anger and resentment, you're headed down a path that's you know, our book is clear about it, right? You know, the dubious luxury of normal men. Like, let that stuff go, man. Because if you get that, like, and I'll tell you, I've been sober 14 years by the grace of God on February 21st, and a year ago I copped a resentment against a guy in my home group, and I'm a guy that's in this book pretty much, and I didn't think I was, you know, I can't get one of those. Are you kidding me? I'm better than that, you know, spiritually, like, I'm arrogant, right? And let me tell you something, I got a resentment, and I got a real resentment, like, and here's what started to happen. You know what? I ain't going tonight. I ain't going to make that meeting tonight. And that guy's going to be there. I ain't going to be there. No thanks. I don't want to go Sunday either. It's subtle, like our literature taught. It's a subtle foe, man. So we need to guard against those things. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for the alcoholic, these things are poison. All right, again, I'm going to throw my coaching hat on, right? I always point this out to my new guys when they tell me, we'll get to that list. You know, don't you worry about it, sponsor. We're going to get to that list when you're ready. We turn back to the list. For it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. We can't turn this thing if we haven't written it down, right? I gotta get it on black and white before I can start to shift it. Right? We began to see the world and its people really dominate us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others, fancied or real, had the power to actually kill. How could we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away more than alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We asked God to help us to show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. 4-step prayer, right? My sponsor said to me, after a year of chewing on this thing, because I don't want to tell my sponsor, because this guy's friends with my sponsor. You know. Oh, okay. Let's inventory it. Let's look at it. But before you do that, can you use the 4-step prayer? Can we start? Let's say the 4-step prayer every night with this, you know. Can you imagine, right? Where else? Like, I want to kill this guy. Pray for him. Where else does that happen? Right? Your answer is praying for somebody yet? Like, what? And then, you know, if you're like me, you take the action begrudgingly and you bite your teeth and you're, oh, I can't stand, you know. And miraculously, a month later, it doesn't exist anymore. How does that happen, man? This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Thy will be done, right? And I can remember clearly, like, my mother, like, just thinking, you know, man, when that be, you know, perhaps she was spiritually sick, you know, and I'm thinking, wow. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chance of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take it kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. A kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. Referring to our list again, putting out of the minds wrong others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Column 4, right? Now I'm in the fourth column. Though our situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other persons involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our fault, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight. Notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. The short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. It was an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It is set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us to misfortune. We felt we didn't deserve, but we did not. We ourselves set the ball rolling. Sometimes we think fear ought to be classified with stealing. It seems to be the cause of more trouble. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go that far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it really didn't solve the fear problem or any others. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Perhaps there is a better way. We think so. We are now on a different basis, the basis of trusting and relying upon God. We trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. We are in the world to play the role He assigns, just to the extent that we do as we think He would have us and humbly rely on Him. He enables us to match calamity with serenity. We never apologize to anyone for depending upon our Creator. We can laugh at those who think spirituality the way of weakness. Paradoxically, is the way of strength. The verdict of ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. They trust their God. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let Him demonstrate through us what He can do. We ask Him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what He would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. Now about sex. Many of us need an overhauling there, but above all, we tried to be sensible on the question. It is so easy to get away off track. Here we find human opinions running to extremes. Absurd extremes, perhaps. One set of voices cry that sex is a lust of our lower nature, a base necessity of procreation. Then we have the voices who cry for sex and more sex. We bewail the institution of marriage, who think that most of the troubles of the race are traceable to sex causes. They think they do not have enough of it, or that it isn't the right kind. They see its significance everywhere. One school would allow man no flavor for his fare. The other would have us all on a straight pepper diet. We want to stay out of this controversy. We do not want to be the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. We all have sex problems. We'd hardly be human if we didn't. What can we do about them? We reviewed our conduct over the years past. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate? Whom had we hurt? Did we unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? Where were we at fault? What would we have done instead? We got this all down on paper and looked at it. In this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. we subjected each relation to the test. Was it selfish or not? We asked God to mold our ideas to help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor be despised and loathed. Whatever our ideals turns out to be, we must be willing to grow toward it. We must be willing to make amends where we have done harm, provided that we did not bring about still more harm in doing so. In other words, we treat sex as we would any other problem. In meditation, we ask God that we should do about each specific matter. The right answers will come if we want it. God alone can judge our sex situation. Counsels with person is often desirable, but we let God be the final judge. We realize that some people are as fanatical about sex and others are loose. We avoid hysterical thinking or advice. Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we are going to get drunk? Some people tell us so, but this is the only half the truth. It depends upon us and our motives. If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to do better things, we believe we will be forgiven and will have learned our lesson. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. We are not theorizing. These are facts and our experience. To sum up about sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. If we have been through our own personal inventory, we have written down a lot. We have listed and analyzed our resentments. We have begun to comprehend their futility and their fatality. We have commenced to see their terrible destructiveness. We have begun to learn tolerance, patience, and goodwill toward all men, even our enemies, as we look upon them as sick people. We have listed the people we have hurt by our conduct and are willing to straighten out the past if we can. My harm's done to other lists, right? The sponsor sneaks it in there. In this book, you read again and again that faith for us is what we could not do for ourselves. We hope you are convinced now that God can remove whatever self-will has blocked you off from Him. If you have already made a decision and an inventory of your grosser handicaps, you have made a good beginning. That being so, you have swallowed and digested some big trunks of truths about yourself. I apologize about reading so much there, but spiritually I think we needed to get there. You know, I tell my guys this, right? I'm at a point in my sponsorship where it's like, okay, if you want to do what I do, you got to do what I do. Like, you're welcome to ride around with me. You're welcome to do whatever I got to do. I just, until you started writing in your fourth, it seems like a lot of bullshit to me. Right? It just seems like, you know, to me this is the first tangible evidence that you've joined us, right? Right? You gotta do what we do. You know, I don't confuse membership with message. The message of Alcoholics Anonymous is very clear. The 12 steps will save your life. Take these steps, come with us, do what we do, right? The membership says you're welcome to the seat, man. You can be a member. But our message is clear, man, right? To recover, right? That's what, you know, if you're an alcoholic of the hopeless variety, right? You want what we want, and you got to do what we do, man. And this inventory stuff is the first part of it, man. It's like, you know, I want to see it. Let's look at it. It's, you know, there's, you know, it's a little bit of magic involved, right? It's amazing that, you know, you can just, somebody points this stuff out, and we look at it, and we use these prayers and some things. Listen, if you would have told me 20 years ago I wouldn't be drinking today, I'd called you a liar, you know. NFC, AFC championship game, I'm a football guy, like, you know, my people are drunk, you know, they're at the very, it's just, something happens here. And, you know, we've got a design for living, right? And I think about my first, typically when I'm giving a talk, I'm talking about my first inventory, you know, and my first inventory, I don't know if I talked about this last week, I don't think I did, I hope I'm not boring you, but my middle brother, I talked about growing up in the 80s and love, you know, looking at those lights in Lower Manhattan and, you know, what was going on in the country in the 80s. And, you know, my middle brother was the good-looking brother in the family, man. He had full head of hair. He'd go up to, like, Studio 54 and the Limelight. You guys remember those places? I don't know. Most of you guys are my age, right? Like, you know, CBGB and all those clubs in Lower. He's coming home with two girls, man. I remember looking at this guy like, what the hell, this guy? Like, I want what he's got, you know what I mean? And then one day I'm going through his drawer. I'm doing what little brothers do, man. I'm sneaking through his drawer. Like, I gotta see what he's got in here. He's got the key. He's got the magic, you know. There's something going on here, right? And I find this letter. It's like 3 pages. My brother, like, he wasn't an articulate guy, but I'm snooping, right? I gotta get, you know, what do they say here? Be careful what you wish for. I'm reading this letter, and my brother's writing to my mom and dad that he's dying. He's contacted some new disease called HIV and AIDS, and he's gonna die. And I don't know what to do with this letter now, right? Because now I'm about to lose another hero. And I take that letter and I fold it back up. I put it back in his drawer. And I gotta spend the next 10, 12, 13 years with this guy, knowing that he's gonna die. And I can't tell him I found the letter, man, right? To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that could have been worthwhile, right? Now I got a resentment against one of my nut, and another guy's gonna die. And I don't know what to, you know, what do they say? We're as sick as our secrets, right, man? Spiritually, this thing just starts to eat at me, man. At 12 years old, it's eating at me. How am I gonna lose another brother? You can't do this shit to me, God, right? Not again. I'm not going through this again, man. And the only thing that starts to work is, you know, time and time again, right? And that's the magic in this stuff, man. And it wasn't until I get to you, right? It's a ship's captain from Brooklyn, New York, who's active with a sponsor in a home group that gets this out of me, right? I didn't share this at the rehab with the paid professional, right? It's a sponsor who's got a sponsor, and they're active members of home group. They know how to use the book. They're effective with the book, right? And he gets this thing out of me. Come on, kid, let's take that list. We're going to go sit on the beach. Let's examine this stuff, man. And oh, by the way, you did this. Let me tell you what I did. Right? And then he tells me some of his stuff, right? And what that does is, man, that's like cements that, you know, now we're on this journey together, right? We stood shoulder to shoulder, right? We commenced on this way out. And you know, that magic only happens down here, I believe, man, and it's such a such a powerful, it's a powerful design for living we have. This 4 through 9 stuff is unbelievable. Have to apologize. I didn't get as far as I thought I would get tonight, but I am coming back next week, so we will wrap this stuff up. But I beg of you, if you haven't done this 4-step, man, get a sponsor, get this stuff written down, and get this stuff out of you, man. Right? Let the power of the rooms and God take over, man. And I promise you, your life will change. And I'm going to shut up. That's all I got. Thank you.